Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Goodness. Good morning. All right. Am I on? That's why I make sure. Hey, all right, there we are. Hey, good morning. Woo, man. I'm looking out here. See, I got a unique perspective that you don't have, and I get to see all of the faces looking this way, and they are looking really good today. You're a fine-looking group. Is it because perhaps there is a nice meal waiting for us after service today? I don't know about you. Listen, they have been cooking this all week, you know, throughout the office with these turkeys and all these sort of things, and it has taken everything I have not to eat this before today. And so I know that after service, there is going to be something beautifully in store for us. But it's hard to believe that it's already Thanksgiving. It's here. And even this year, it's kind of fallen a little bit late, but yet it still seems it's come so early, isn't it? Time is tricky like that. And I want to say my popcorn thankfulness, my what I'm giving thanks for, and that my family as well, we have all of our family together for the first time in a long time. My mom just arrived on Friday. So, Mom, it's really good to have you with us. And then my in-laws, Brett and Mary, we're so excited to have them. They live in California and flew all the way out here and landed yesterday. And so for under our roof, we have all the grandparents in one place. So me and Annalise are taking the week off. That's it. We're done. Right? We're clocking out. But we are very much, that's my Thanksgiving. It's excited that you are all here. All right, now, this Thursday is a big day, all right? So it's a day where families gather together. We're going to sit around the table. Each family has their tradition, maybe you're a turkey family, maybe you're not. There's different, like, you wake up and you kind of maybe have a flow on how your Thanksgiving day is going, maybe a tradition perhaps on how that's going to look. Does anybody wake up and still watch the Macy's Day Parade? Anyone do that? All right, it looks like I'm in the minority as well. Yes, yeah, so I still do that. Is anyone like hardcore and starts their turkey the night before kind of thing? Or are you all like in the morning, Thursday morning? All right, okay, I just wanted to see how deep we were going here. All right, so all right, I'm going to ask a serious question, and I need to think about this, all right? Serious question. This question is when it's time to eat, and you got it out on the table, the family is sitting around, are you a main, like a turkey person or a side person, all right? So when you sit down at the table, is our eyes focusing on the turkey, right? Or is it focusing on the side? So if you're a turkey person or a main person, you may not have turkey, maybe you have ham. If you're a main person, raise your hand. I want to just see this. Okay, all right. So those are the guys that will get the job done, all right? And then sides, all right, okay. Listen, I would say the sides probably have it on that. I think I myself am a sides person. I kind of toss up between two. I have two favorite sides. I've got green bean casserole. I love green bean casserole, so I'm hoping that's out there. I'm sure it is. Just keep me away from it, all right? And then the sweet potato casserole. I don't know. I think of it as casserole in the name. I think that's kind of where I'm going. Because sweet potato casserole is a trick. They call it a side, but we all know it's dessert. Like, we all know that. But we're allowed to eat it during the mealtime. Listen, this is a beautiful thing. And so, I don't know, one tradition that we have in our household, we've been doing this for a long time, but when it comes time to everything's on the table, the turkey's there, the sides are there, everything is there, we're sitting around, you know, the kids are starting to get real hungry, they've been complaining for a couple hours now, and so right before we carve in that turkey, we say, okay, we're going to go around the table, and we're going to say what we're thankful for. Now, us adults really like that. The kids are like, you've got to be kidding me. All right. Listen, I have been hungry all morning long, all right? Because I think in our house, we usually have lunch like around 2, 1:30, 2. We make this like, you know, it's like a lunch-dinner thing, right? And so here we are. We're going around the table, and everybody gives what they're thankful for. And those answers, in fact, over the years, we've written them down. And we would write them down. And some years, we actually had we turned them into like a picture, like a little painting picture that still hangs on the wall so that we could look back years later and see what five-year-old Joshua was thankful for. And has that changed at all, right? But this is a beautiful tradition, and all we like to do is to go around and say what we're thankful for. Now, this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and so typically, you know, this is where, you know, kind of the expectation is, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to give you this sermon on Thanksgiving and gratitude and all that stuff, and I am going to exactly do that. I'm going to give you a wonderful look into gratitude, and listen, I'm going to tell you that I could do this. I could tell all of you right now, here's the sermon. I'm just going to paint a pretty picture of all the church reasons on why you should live a life of thanks. I have a lot of those, by the way, a lot of the church reasons on why we should be living in a life of thanksgiving and gratitude. I mean, I can sit up here and I can tell you that 1 Thessalonians says to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I can also tell you that Colossians says that whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father through Him. Philippians even says to do not be anxious. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but let your request be made known to God through prayer and thanksgiving. And even just a moment ago, when we attempted to do this in multiple languages, at different times, leaders and congregations, women's and men, but collectively we read Psalm 100, which says, enter his gates with thanks. Okay, let's try that one more time. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And it says, give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, so I could be here. I can tell you all the church scriptures on thanksgiving, gratitude, and all that. And you may have noticed that actually when we just went through those four, there's more, but just in those four scriptures, you may have noticed that there's a common theme that's repeated over and over again. You may have noticed a repetition here when we were just quoting those things. You see, from what we all just kind of quoted and read together is that it sounds like that Christians, that's us, Christians are supposed to be grateful people. Just to be grateful people, walking around and living in thanksgiving and just being joyful and thankful. You know, in fact, being thankful, when I read the scriptures anyway, isn't even a suggestion. It's actually a command. It was a command to be thankful. Now, I wonder if God had something on his mind when he made that particular command. When he was like, all right, listen, I'm going to give you a lot of these, but I'm going to really hit on this one. Like maybe there is something that he knows that we don't know about gratitude. And so it wasn't like, I suggest this. Like you know, sometimes I wonder why even God maybe didn't just slide this one under the table. You know, like, hey, listen, I'm already asking a lot of you guys who call upon my name. So listen, I'll let the attitude thing slide. I get it. It's a tough world down there. And I'm just going to let this one slide. You know, but listen, there is something about this. Because if I'm being honest, and I think if you were being honest too, if I'm being honest, sometimes I just don't want to give thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes my word and deed aren't living a life of thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? There are times where I am anxious about everything. I'm just anxious about it all. I mean, just waking up and worry and stress is flooding over me. And there have been moments in my faith when I don't enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Has this ever happened to you? You ever been there before? But what if I told you? What if I told you that there was something that God knew when he made those commands that we didn't know? That there is something tangible, like for real, something tangible about living a life of thanks, a life of gratitude. And listen, I'm not necessarily talking about all of the pounds I'm going to put on this year from turkey and pumpkin pie, even though that will be tangible. I'm sure it will be. But I'm talking about something much more than just a feeling, right? Gratitude or thankfulness or giving thanks is sometimes we just kind of categorize it as a feeling. You know, I feel thankful. I feel this way. Or maybe we say it's a state of being grateful, being thankful. You're all, you know, grateful and all these sorts of things. But maybe, just maybe, there is something actual, real, tangible to living a life of thanksgiving. Let me show you what I mean. Is the University of Kentucky actually conducted several studies on the efforts and the effects of gratitude into someone's life. They put this study together and they're like, we're going to take a look at this. And so this wasn't a spiritual study or a religious study on gratitude or thankfulness in your life, nothing like that. No, all they did, they just took regular people who naturally lived grateful lives. And they put them under the microscope. They wanted to see, what are they doing, right? And so what they did is they studied those who practiced gratitude by either journaling their thankfulness. They were journaling it down. That was a part of their practice, right? Journaling, prayer, or self-reflection. So they kind of took these three kind of categories and they looked at, okay, these guys are expressing gratitude either through journaling, prayer, or self-reflection. Let's check this out. And so the study, once it was conducted, once it was complete, it came back with these three results, tangible results. And so the first one was that those who choose to be grateful have better mental health. That's interesting. You see, the study found that those who journal or pray or reflect on gratitude as a part of their daily life or their experience experienced lower levels of depression and anxiety. This is because they found that gratitude shifts your focus away from negative emotions, which helped reduce the feeling of stress, sadness, and resentment. And so, interestingly, those who were going, this is a very interesting part of the study, is that those who were going through a hard time. So during the study, there were people going through some hard times. And so those who were experiencing a job loss, a health crisis maybe, a family emergency. You know, they kind of leaned in on this and took a look at that. And what they saw is that those who practiced gratitude were able to maintain an emotionally stable response to the crisis. So in other words, the crisis did not overcome them. They overcame the crisis. It's interesting. And so a separate study actually on this very thing found that people who wrote down things that they were grateful for, if you wrote it down, they reported an increase in happiness and a decrease in depression symptoms just by writing it down. Like, there's something about like taking it from here and putting it to here and writing it out. It's like a transfer of power almost that it has on you, and now you're putting it where it belongs and you're putting it here. And so what this means, without question, what this means is that gratitude has a tangible effect on your mental health and your emotions. Now, the second thing that they kind of came to the conclusion with on this study is that those who chose to be grateful have stronger physical health. This is what they came to the conclusion to, is that your mental health, yes, that's good, but your physical health also saw a change. Now, the study showed that gratitude, that living this practice, you know, doing this gratitude thing, is directly linked to better physical health, particularly, specifically, your immune system. It said your immune system responded to gratitude. You see, it showed that grateful people often report fewer symptoms of illness, such as headaches or colds. And they reported better sleep quality, so more sleep at night, better quality sleep at night. If you got two kids in the house like me, sleep is valuable. I'm telling you, it's pretty much if you're in your 30s running a young family, sleep is valuable, right? Yeah, so anyone else. But sleep quality is important. And then it says that actually their energy levels got a boost because of the gratitude that they were living in. And so this is your body actually physically receives gratitude as fuel for strength and a shield against outside threats. Now, I'm not saying that if you're extra grateful this year, that all of your health problems are going to go away, or that you can finally run the Boston Marathon that you've been putting off, right? Just because we were extra thankful. That's not what I'm saying. But what this study is showing is that gratitude, being intentional about it, has a tangible effect on your physical health. Does anybody want to be healthy? Yeah? Yeah, everybody wants to be healthy, right? We want to be mentally healthy. We want to be physically healthy. These are things, the older you get, you know, it becomes less and less about things and more about what? Health. Why? Because we realize that health is the one thing that we can treasure the most. And so this gratitude, listen, there's a tangible effect on it. And then the third thing that they kind of showed on this study, you know, they really kind of pulled this one out. It said that those who choose to be grateful, those who are practicing this, overall have better relationships. Better relationships. This is what the study found. The study found that expressing gratitude in relationships, that's like expressing it, not thinking it, expressing it. Gratitude in relation actually strengthens feelings of connection and trust with the other person. So what happens is when people express appreciation for others, friend, family, spouse, whatever it is, you express this appreciation, it actually encourages, so you express this gratitude, it encourages a positive behavior in return. It goes two ways. At least, I'm going to knock on wood here, but it's never happened to me where I went up to someone and I said, you know, I love, you're amazing, and I'm just expressing all this gratitude, and they say, you know what, I hate you. Yeah, it hasn't happened to me yet. I hope it doesn't, right? But usually when you're expressing gratitude to the other person, that's received, and then what happens? They positively react back. You know what, I'm really thankful for you. It's like contagious almost. And so what this does is that it allows the relationship to go past the supernatural, a supernatural, superficial, maybe supernatural, superficial, and go into the relational. That's where it really is. And so, interesting enough, of course, the study decided to take a look at those who were married, right? Anyone married? Is anyone married? I know there's more than two hands in this room. I won't bring that. I'll bring that up in a minute. But you know, but yes, if those of us who were married, they looked at us, and so they said that those who were in marriages showed that marriages who expressed gratitude toward each other, expressing it, not thinking it, expressing it toward each other, felt more satisfied in their marriage. And we're, and this is a secular study, there's nothing spiritual or religious about this, but the study says that those who were expressing gratitude to each other, they were satisfied and they were more likely to stay together for long periods of time. That's what the study says, that they were able to stay together for a long time. You know why? This is my part of the study. Because gratitude in a marriage isn't a feeling. Gratitude is not a feeling. That's not what it is. Those, listen, when we saw our spouse for that first time, and he had that feeling, you know what I'm talking about? I see smiles on your face. I think you know what I'm talking about. And so you see that, look at Rodney, boy, he's smiling. Oh, man, he's gone. He's wherever he is right now. But when you saw that, your loved one, you saw your spouse, and you had that big smile, that feeling, that attraction, you know, that, listen, that you needed that. That's what got you, hey, let me introduce myself. And then that feeling got you through dating, got you through engagement, even got you to that wedding day, right? And then that feeling probably got you through the first year of marriage. And so you get through that first year, and what happens is that, you know, you're like, baby, we're in this together, we're in this forever together, you know? And it's like you, this feeling, where I'm so in love with you, I'm so in love with you. And then as you kind of go from year one to year two to year five to year seven, what happens is the feeling kind of starts to slowly shift down. And because it becomes what? Part of our just daily life. And then we realize that our spouse is not someone that we're in feelings with. Our spouse is who we are in communion with. It's who we are in life with. And so this here is saying, listen, if you express gratitude physically, gratitude is saying that that is what holds these relationships together. Listen, I'm going to put them on the spot here, but when I went to go ask for my wife's hand in marriage, when I went to go ask for my wife's hand in marriage, he made me do some crazy stuff. He had me write down, in fact, when I went in there, as a Mr. Meredith, I was, you know, being formal, you know, Mr. Meredith, can I ask, I want to marry your daughter. She's the love of my life. All I needed was a yes or a no. That's all I needed, right? Preferably a yes, right? I can work with that. If it's a no, I got a little work, but I'll get you, all right? But his response to me was, write down your five best reasons on why it should be you. Like right now? Yeah. And so I run upstairs, because Annalise knew that I was going to ask. I run upstairs, you know, and then I open up the door. She's in there with her mom, and they're already going through wedding magazines. Yeah. Like this, picking things out. And I remember opening the door, and I see Annalise's eyes come above the magazine. What did he say? I said, I need pen and paper. Okay. And so I get that. And listen, I sit down and I start writing out all my reasons. I'll give my reason. And I wrote a book on this thing, man. Like I wrote my reason. Here's my justification. Like I was getting ready to be an army officer before I knew. I was like writing all the T-SAM stuff and everything else that goes into this. And I was like all this stuff, right? And then about 45 minutes to an hour later, I'm sweating. Not to mention, the whole time, he has me sitting at the dining room table watching me, right? He's watching me, going, what's taking so long? Hey, listen, give me a minute, you know? And so now I finally get it done. I come over to Brett, and he says, come sit next to me. Of course, yeah, sure. I sit down next to him, and then he opens my book, you know, that I wrote, and I'm going through, and he reads it in silence, and he makes me sit by him. And he goes one by one, and he goes, And then once he gets through all the way to the end, and I'm sweating, he says, all right. He says, you know why I made you do this? I said, I got so many reasons right now. I have so many reasons right now. But he said, your emotions want to marry my daughter, but your emotions will not sustain your marriage. I needed to see if you had substance, because your emotion will go away, but my wife or my daughter will be there, and I need you to take care of her. And I said, yes, sir. He shook my hand, gave me his blessing, and then he said, at the time he was running a shelter, and so he shook my hand and said, and just so you know, I've got about 30 guys in my program that owe me a favor. Don't hurt my daughter. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But that has stuck with me, is that our emotion, our feelings, is not what's going to keep our marriages together. It's our commitment. It's our everyday waking up and saying, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. And what this study has to show us is that one of the best ways to choose your partner, your spouse, is to show gratitude, express it to them. So what that means, guys, I'm just picking on the guys now because I'm one of you, you know. That means that actually doing the dishes is actually good for your marriage. It's good for your marriage because it's an expressing of gratitude. So gratitude has a tangible effect on your marriage. So now the science community is telling us, right? We've gone through these three. The science community is telling us, hey, there is something to pay attention to this gratitude thing. There's something to this. I mean, they're sitting here, they're scratching their heads looking at all the results. They're looking at the, they're going, there, listen, in fact, we decided that we have got to put a study together to get to the bottom of this, this whole gratitude thing. Because it's doing something that influencers can't do. It's doing something they can't do. In a world, or shall I even say in our country, that is filled with people who are struggling with their mental health, with their physical health, with their relationships, an entire generation that is battling with mental health because their screens are telling them what others want them to be instead of who God created them to be. Something as simple as gratitude has them scratching their heads. And we, all of us, should be over here saying, I know why it's working. You want to know? I've got an answer. It's because we were designed this way. We were created this way. You see, it's because God knew that our journey on this world was going to be filled with hard and trying times. He knew this. He knew that gratitude would be the foundation to overcoming emotional and physical distress. That is why in 1 Thessalonians, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is my will for you in Christ Jesus. This is why Colossians says that both our word and deed should directly give thanks to God the Father. He knew that our lives would be filled with anxious moments, moments that will cause us to doubt our faith. And this is why Philippians says to not be anxious about anything, but instead, give me your request. Don't hold it in. Don't hold your request here. Don't be anxious about it. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but instead, give me your request. And he says here, to give it to me through prayer and thanksgiving. Lord, I'm giving this to you, and I am grateful for you, Lord. This, don't be anxious. Man, I'm going to tell you that I think that when we see and feel the tangible effects of gratitude and thanksgiving in our lives, when it leaves its positive effects on our mental health, when it leaves its positive effects on our physical health, and when we see the effects of it in our relationships, then Psalm 100 moves from being words on a paper, and then it becomes the anthem of our lives, to the point where we can't help but just enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Gratitude is a command. Not because we're just supposed to suck it up and be grateful for what we got. At least Jesus died for you on the cross, so be grateful for that. Not for that, no. But because there is healing in our bodies and in our relationships when we express it. God knew something that we didn't know. And so this morning, what do you have gratitude for? What are you giving thanks for? There's a lot, isn't there? But even right now, we're going to sing this, you know, chorus in a minute, and we want to usher in the Spirit. We want to allow us to have a moment of reflection, a moment to where maybe we're not expressing gratitude in our life. It's not a part of our routine. Maybe now is a time where we express gratitude maybe differently than what we have been doing. Have an open conversation. Dear, how can I express gratitude more? How can I show that I love you? How can I do this for you? And maybe those conversations need to happen. Listen, church, we are all in this place, all under the blood of Jesus Christ. We go to the cross, we've shouted his name, we said, Lord, redeem us, save us. But listen, our marriages are in shambles in this country. And we need to look at our partner, we need to look at our spouse, we need to look at our, and say, I still choose you. And let Christ be the bond between them. Maybe there's something in your own personal reflection or writing or journal, whatever it is, to say, I need gratitude. There's stuff on my mind. I just can't shake it off. Lord, take this anxiety away from me. Help me. Let's sing this together. Let's just reflect on what gratitude right now in your life is. Thank you. Father, we just come to you now and we just pray the very things that your scripture tells us to. Lord, we cast all of our anxieties and our concerns on you. But right now, I pray for anybody, it's either physically here in this space or you're online with us and you're listening in that way. But if there's any anxiety on your heart, on your mind, if there's any doubt right now on your faith, the Lord, I just pray that you've come to them in a way that they just know that you are with them. Lord, I pray that they cast that away from their mind, from their body, from their soul, and just give it to you. Your scripture says, give me your anxieties and give them to me through prayer and thanksgiving. Father, we do that today. Lord, the concerns of work, the concerns of economy, the concerns of all these other things that fall on us when we have young families and we're trying to figure this out. Lord, we just pray that all of this be received with thanksgiving and gratitude in our own hearts, for that you are the provider, Jehovah Jireh, Lord, that you are who you say you are. And we believe that. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord, we give our petitions to you, but Father, we approach your cross just in a humble spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, for your Son, for your redemption. And so, Lord, I pray this over everybody. The ones who call upon your name today, meet them and show yourself. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, this Thanksgiving, when you're gathered around your table giving thanks, expressing gratitude towards your family, I challenge you to make it tangible. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.